listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you. if you go, what do you do when you're confronted with ignorance, and not just ignorance, but ignorance that is grounded in just bowel-buckling fear? What do you do? Can you educate Rhonda? Is there any hope for Rhonda and all of her little friends of coal friends? Or have their minds been so inexorably warped by the coal industry that all they know is that that one that's living in our White House has a war on coal, because they wouldn't have put up a bumper, or they wouldn't have put up a billboard what says the Obama no job zone if it wasn't true. You can't put a billboard up unless you're telling the truth. And they do. They live in, yes, lady cab driver, yes, they live in bowel-buckling fear, because they know that they've screwed themselves, and that they've and that they have also been screwed by the coal industry. They know what's coming. They know what happens when the coal industry walks away. Something on the order of 600 human beings in one of the most benighted counties of West Virginia just got pink slipped at a giant mountaintop removal operation. Why? Because nobody wants to buy their coal for power generation anymore. Because they're, for good or ill, probably more of the latter and less of the former, switching over to natural gas. Because it generates more energy out of its BTU content and isn't quite as dirty as coal and is cheaper than coal. And the friends of coal and the coal wives and the mountaintop removal workers, they know. They know what's going to happen. They know the coal companies are going to hang them out to dry, and that the government of this state in particular is going to do absolutely nothing for them. And so naturally, the smart thing to do is to spend 4 years screaming about the Obama war on coal, when the fact of the matter is what you need in this poor region more than anything else is concerted federal action. Jeff Biggers over at HuffPost and Alternet today was writing about that very thing. Pointing out the fact that this state desperately needs, and this region desperately needs, what Jeff refers to as a coal field regeneration fund. A green jobs coal field regeneration fund. If you go to the speakeasy section of alternet.org and search Jeff Biggers, you will find this article. Obama's August surprise in coal country, mountaintop removal moratorium, and green jobs plan. Why not? It's about the only hope he's got, at least in Appalachia. Jesus, the governor of this state won't even go to his national convention. Neither will my member of Congress, and neither will the junior senator from this state, all allegedly Democrats, but they don't want to be seen with that one that lives in our White House. Precisely because of the Rhondas of the world. Also, if you will go and have a look at Jeff Biggers' post from 1:28 p.m. today, you will find the new PSA, brilliantly done by my good friend Adams Wood. the filmmaker behind On Coal River, a brilliant documentary, asking people to support the AIC Act and the AIC campaign. I have tweeted a link to that video PSA earlier today. Get it, please. Spread it around. It badly needs to be seen. Go and have a look. And, you know, there's more to this. There's a Dr. John just wrote in and says, just got in, figured you'd be ripping that dumbass CNN coal story. I'm getting there. I'm getting there, Dr. John. The hell is this, he says. Oh, this is just a friend of coal troll. But no, the CNN story is, a matter of a difference of degree, but not lack of substance. It's another story on the war on coal. You know, the one that doesn't exist. But they found an ignorant West Virginian who will say there is. The ironic thing, especially for those of you who listen to this program, is... Okay, Reverbo, you out there, buddy? Yeah, you need to sit down and strap in, too. It's your turn. The title by of this CNN report is by Lisa Desjardins. D-E-S-J-A-R-D-I-N-S. God only knows how she pronounces it. Amanda Sedgmer, mother of five and daughter of coal country, believes that, see, there's that word, that in this presidential election, her way of life is at stake. If you ask anybody in the coal industry what would happen if Obama is reelected, they'd say the coal industry is done. Said Sedgmer, whose husband Ryan is a coal miner and whose family has depended on the industry for at least four generations. She lives in, well, okay, she's not a West Virginian, she's from Ohio. She lives in Hopedale, Ohio, which sits on top of one of the state's richest coal deposits. For nearly a century here, mining has been one of the few professions guaranteeing a good and consistent salary. Also guaranteeing diseases, birth defects, you know, that kind of stuff. And so, unable to see the forest for the trees, this thing titled The War Over Coal is Personal is infuriating. And it, too, trust me, I'm going to wrap it all up. There's a theme here. It, too, is swaddled and bathed in ignorance. Thanks, CNN, for validating the war on coal that doesn't exist. But yeah, it is personal. No interviews in this here CNN I report. With anybody who's had an organ removed because of coal toxins. No one interviewed for this here CNN I report who has to mix up nebulizer solutions every day so her 10-year-old son can breathe. No, for this mother of five in Ohio, the war over coal is personal. Because, let's face it, her husband doesn't have the gumption to go and get a decent job that doesn't rely on poisoning people. Jesus. News Ninja Susan wrote in. She said, you know, Bob, I pay extra so that I get all of my power from wind farms. I don't pay anything like what you're paying for power. No. No, we pay and pay and pay. But no, like I said, there's a theme at work here, and that theme is ignorance. I take you now, and you're going to hate me for this. I take you now to the pig man, the oxymoron, that babbling junkie who gets paid $50 million a year, Rush Limbaugh. You're going to love this. It's a beautiful thing. Try not to scream. Ignorance, remember, that's our theme. Swaddled in it and bathed in it. Ignorance. I just know it's going to happen.
Have you heard this new movie, the Batman movie? What is The Dark Knight Lights Up or something? Whatever the name of it is.
Really?
That's right. Dark Knight.
Dr. Freud. Did you catch that? Yeah, the Dark Knight Lights Up, yeah? That's not what it's called? Oh, no, no. You know about Rush, right? Oh, yeah, yeah. The junkie? Mm-hmm. Lights Up? Dark Knight Lights Up? Woo! Get a net. Yeah.
Rises, Lights Up, same thing.
Yeah, because Rises and Lights Up is the same thing. In, I don't know, his dictionary of Reformed Egyptian or something.
Do you know the name of the villain in this movie?
Now, wait a minute. Let's all get our little paranoia hats on. You know, somebody dig up Jerry Falwell. Because, you know, that you should always, I wish I'd thought about it. That's what happens, you know, when you just kind of take things on the fly like this. We really needed Jerry Falwell's audio talking about how Tinky Winky is gay. And who is it that went after SpongeBob SquarePants? Was that Falwell too? Or maybe that was Muslim Fang Pat Robertson. I don't remember. Wait.
If it is. That's right. Dark Knight Rises, Lights Up, same thing. Do you know the name of the villain in this movie?
No, Flush. Tell us.
Bane.
Really?
The villain in The Dark Knight Rises is named Bane. B-A-N-E. What is the...
Bane. B-A-N-E. Bane. Because we needed to know the spelling.
Name of the venture capital firm that Romney ran and around which there's now this make-believe controversy. Bane.
Don't spell that Bane for your knuckle-walking faithful, huh, Flush? Don't spell B-A-I-N.
Well, damn, I thought I saw it spelled B-A-I-N. It turns out it's B-A-N-E. You told us you wouldn't lie to us. They wouldn't let him be on the radio if he's a liar.
Works for a long time. The release date's been known. Summer 2012 for a long time. Do you think that it is accidental that the name of the really vicious, fire-breathing, four-eyed, whatever it is, villain in this movie is named Bane?
Somebody else made that happen.
In case you're wondering what's going on, I am so astounded by this. I have told a broadcast engineer to play that whenever he feels like he's on his own. He's getting no help from me.
And damn little pay.
He can put that soundbite anywhere at any time he thinks it's called for. It's totally up to him. I don't know when it's going to happen.
Can he use a tool to put it there too, Rush?
Okay, roll off the little excerpt of that big long bite. And this thing's going to show up because I can't tell you how it's affecting me.
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Just stop and think of that just from the standpoint of logic. And then I had to read today that some conservative commentator, well, you're the president. He's right. He actually is right. And I'm not going to embarrass the guy by mentioning his name because I'm not trying to pick a fight with the guy. I'm trying to point out that we have a bunch of people that want to be thought of as the smartest people in the room and the most reasonable, and they don't want to be lumped in with me.
Nobody wants to be with you, Flush. Your own wife lives in a pit. The cat stays at the other end of the mansion with the maid. They don't want to be with you, Flush, and they certainly don't want to be around you and any lumps.
Having a reactionary take on this.
I know you're begging me to stop this, but we're going to get through to the end. There's a reason.
So they're going out of the... Oh, no, I don't think the president hates the... I would not... Oh, no. No, 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 no. In fact, I think the president's... some level, it's obvious he's right. It's so simple to see. Later on, they point out their disagreements with it, but after... What's the point? Anyway, so this
kind of like his diatribe here, right?
Evil villain in the Nukeman movie is named Bane. And there's now discussion out there as to whether or not this was purposeful and whether or not it'll influence voters. It's going to have a lot of people. This movie, the audience is going to be huge. A lot of people are going to see the movie.
Mm-hmm. Now here's where the fun starts. One, as he didn't tell his knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing, brain-dead audience.
And it's a lot of brain-dead people.
In other words, he says his audience is going to go see the movie.
Same with the pop culture crowd, and they're going to hear Bane in the movie, and they're going to associate Bane, and the thought is that when they start paying attention to the campaign later in the year, and Obama, the Democrats keep talking about Bane, not Bane Capital, but Bane, Romney, and Bane, that these people will think back to the Batman movie. Oh, yeah, I know who that is.
Pinky Winky's mother. Jesus. Isn't it breathtaking? Isn't it absolutely stunning to see so much idiocy on parade? And not just on parade, but with horns blaring and flags flying and people, marching and stuff. Okay, now let's back up. So one, he doesn't spell out for his brain-dead listeners B-A-N-E versus B-A-I-N. No. And the next thing is this line about there's a lot of there's now discussion out there as to whether or not this was purposeful. You know, he won't cite it because his mouth-breathing ditto monkeys would have a fit. But you know who he's citing to? You know who mentioned the question about Bane? Mentioned the thing about Bane and Bane? You know who did that? John Stewart. And it was funny. Flush Flimball is now in his drug-induced haze citing fake news comedy shows as legitimate political discussions. But then, just for the sake of some degree of accuracy and maybe 10 cents worth of intelligence... Okay, Dr. John, you're right. In fairness to Rush, his wife, he doesn't live in a pit by choice. No. Yes, Marty, they do. They have to keep the little Puerto Rican and Dominican boys away from El Rushbo. But being as I had been looking at
some challenged execution of the English language earlier in the day from our pal Rhonda that I shared with you there. Well, I was all taken with language. I love language. I was an English major in college. Yeah. Granted, not a real fancy college, just West Virginia University. Harvard on the Mon. Nothing Tony or upper crust. I mean, we had pepperoni rolls on the way to class for breakfast. But that word. You know, that word.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Not me either. Bane. B-A-N-E. Bane. B-A-N-E is the name of the character. No spoilers here. I doubt if I'll even go see the movie, although it's probably pretty cool. B-A-N-E is the name of the character, and this, of course, is a storyline that comes from a freaking comic book, okay? Comic books are not known for their subtlety. Although apparently Flush does come from that generation that liked to get really, really high and listen to records backwards. Turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. All hail Satan. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I heard it!
More good vinyl and more good styluses, styli, were ruined playing records backwards than most of us would probably care to admit. So I went and I looked up Bane. You know, because the evil Obama bots of Hollywood have crafted this scheme to get people to equate a magic underwear-wearing billionaire with enough money to build a fleet of freaking spaceships with a comic book villain. Yeah, don't work for me either. But no, I did a stupid thing. I did an English major thing. I did, and I admit it. I went on the interweb tubes and I looked up Bane. Because I was thinking of things like, you know, Wolfbane. Bane, B-A-N-E. Definition one, obsolete, killer, slayer. Definition B, 1D, poison. Definition 1C, death, destruction. Stop the way of those that seek my bane. Philip Sidney. D, woe. 2, a source of harm or ruin. Curse. National frontiers have been more of a bane than a boon for mankind. D.C. Thompson. And then we get to my favorite part of any dictionary definition, the etymology. The, wow, where did a word like this come from part? Origin of bane. Middle English. And that's what Chaucer was writing in, you know, when not a prelude with the sure to suit of the truth of March of Persa to Veruta and all of that stuff. From Old English, bana, akin to Old High German, bano, meaning death. So in the less than subtle imagery of the comic book universe, Bane's name is Bane because he is... poison, death, destruction, woe, killer, slayer, curse. It ain't real subtle. But no, in the fulminating thin gray settlings that slosh between the ears of OxyContin junkies making $50 million a year hooting into a microphone... and which said thin gray settlings that fulminate also occasionally pass for brains. It is all a nefarious liberal plot to get people to think of Willard Romney as a comic book villain. Pathetic, isn't it? But it is also very much a reality. K Kevin writing in from Colorado Springs. He says, the willfully ignorant cannot be talked to any sensible conversation. There is only one thing to do with them, and that is to ignore them and their babblings. End of story. You cannot make any sense to them because they have no sense, common or otherwise. You just have to ignore them, and they will eventually disappear into their own little paranoid world. See Rush. Sigh. P.S. The SpongeBob gay thing... You're right, Kevin, you're right. The SpongeBob gay thing, I believe, that originated right here in the Springs, taken to, thanks to Focus on the Family. You know, James Dobson, who wants grown men to take little boys into the showers with them and wave their penises at them to keep them from catching the gay. Who knew Jerry Sandusky was reading James, listening to James Dobson? Around here, says Kevin, we have a bumper sticker that says to the Focus on the Family crowd, focus on your own damn family. But yeah, it was. It was James Dobson having the hissy about SpongeBob and his, you know, pink starfish friend. But it was, in fact, Jerry Falwell who had the hissy about Tinky Winky. Bane. By the way, going back to that goofball CNN story, Dr. John writing in says, I will say the comments are flying. Ones I saw were very critical of the report for the right reason. Good! This is... Les Brown, the president of the Earth Policy Institute, points to studies that coal emissions, including mercury and other pollutants, cause more than 10,000 deaths a year. It's a war for survival, Brown said, sitting in a Washington office filled with piles of reports and papers about the environment. Saving lives, not just a handful of lives, but thousands of lives, but more broadly, saving the planet. Would he like to see all coal plants closed? Yes, Brown responded. It would be cleaner, it would be safer, and it would help stabilize the climate, which is the big threat to our future. I mean, it's even difficult to put a price tag on that. Brown sees the problems with coal and climate change. You notice he's already been painted as somebody who's out of touch because he sits in a Washington, D.C. office surrounded by papers about the environment, not peer-reviewed data carefully researched to point out the factual. No, no, no. It's just papers about the environment. Brown sees the problems with coal and climate change as a very human issue that could lead to droughts in some places, including the American Midwest, and floods in other places like the American coasts. In either case, Brown fears the loss of crops, homes, and lives. But, there's always but with this kind of pissant reporting, but the same issue is personal to Amanda Sedgmer. Every day as Ryan prepares to go underground, he checks a bulletin board listing the latest coal closures. The five children are still young, aged 16 months to 10 years. Those old enough to speak already talk about coal. When asked what he wants to do when he grows up, four-year-old Ben Sedgmer blurts out, coal miner! But his parents don't know if there will be many or any coal mining jobs waiting for him in Hopedale when he's old enough. Jesus Christ. The damn thing has gotten 2,383 recommendations on Facebook. I wonder how many of those came from Bangalore or Bombay. The feces of, faces of coal are notorious for using stock images and things like that. They wouldn't hesitate to fraud up. Well, in fact, they got caught doing that. The faces of coal got caught buying bulk likes on Facebook. Just like Rush did. 6,088 comments this thing has generated, this piece of dreck. Shit. the stupid. What do you do about it? How do you, no, really, how do you, I posed this question earlier, and I still don't, I don't have an answer. Can you just go around them? Because they'll keep screaming as long as the industry will keep feeding them ignorant talking points. Oh, interesting piece of etymology. Thank you, News Ninja Susan. Another root for Bane. Bane Shitha. Otherwise known as Banshee. Bane, according to Ron and Raleigh, first appeared in 1993 in Batman. Once again, Barack Obama either traveled in time or divined his own future presidential opponent. Damn! He's slick. Jim noting, this state is cursed, talking about West Virginia, by its own ignorance and rote stupidity. Why do so many people leave when given the chance? There is no here. And yet somehow, something compels those of us whose here has been here for 7 or 8 or 9 generations to try to make it better. Maybe it's an uphill fight. Maybe it's not even possible. But you couple that up with hard-headed Scots-Irishness, well, you got a fight on your hands. Yeah. So it is about 8 minutes before the hour. Coming up, we have the Green News Report for you. It is, after all, Tuesday, and I'm always happy to see a Green News Report from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. Mighty good folks, those. So that's on the way. Your calls as well in the next hour. And this from Sal in the chat room. I got a PM from Sal just a few minutes ago. Said, I'd like to do a matching $100 gift for this show. I'll match up to the first $100 that comes in. Let me know how best to do this. I haven't really done anything like this before. Well, it's easy. The $100 is on the table. If you, in any combination you wish, contribute $100, 10 times 10, 5 times 20, 5 tens and a 50, 4 20s and 2 tens. However, once we have received $100, Sal will then double it. And it is much appreciated indeed. Because that's how this keeps going. And the bill, well, after what happened with the disaster at the beginning of the month, the bills just keep piling up. So thank you, Sal. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com, easily found, as is the snail mail address. 1038 Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, West Virginia, BECKLEYWV 25801. Checks, money orders, things like that. Please make them payable to The Horn, not to Bob Kincaid. It's not my account. So that's a mighty good deal. Double your money this evening. Up to the first $100. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. So, as noted, the Green News Report is on the way, as is the top of Hour 2. Your calls, your emails, the number 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. 304-658-3333 is the number if you want to dial without the toll-free assistance. Save a little bit of money for us. And, of course, email comes into Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn.
The handsome wench, she got saucy and from me fled. Ever since then, my head's been red. Howdy, dowdy, dillo-day. Howdy, dowdy, dillo-day. Howdy, dowdy, dillo-day. Hullo-lee-de-dilly-do. I said the bluebird as she flew, if I were a young...
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Tuesday, July 17, 2012.
You watch it, the corn roll up in the middle of the day and the beans kind of slowly grow, and now it's kind of all for naught.
It's official. Widespread U.S. drought is now a natural disaster.
Holy jumbo!
Massive anti-nuclear protests in Japan.
This accident was a result of multiple mistakes and missteps by Enbridge.
The Kalamazoo River oil spill, entirely preventable. Plus, Shell Oil's excellent adventure in the Arctic gets off to a rocky start.
All of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Izzy Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
You're surely not suggesting that the idea and the concept behind Solyndra and other green energies like Solyndra is comparable to the Soviet Union and Cuba, right?
Well, no, I am suggesting that.
And I'm suggesting that you, Senator Ron Johnson, are an embarrassment to the people of Wisconsin and to the people of these United States. Well done, sir. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desiree, so desperate, it seems, are these Republicans that guys like Senator Ron Johnson are now comparing Solyndra to the Soviet Union?
Yes, I think they'll try whatever they can get away with, even though Mother Nature is slapping them in the face.
I'd like to slap them in the face. Anyway, what do you have for us today, Des?
Midwest farmers are facing crop failure. It's official. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has declared the persistent drought gripping the Midwest as a natural disaster to free up federal funds for farmers.
You know who else would free up federal funds for farmers?
Who?
The Soviet Union.
It's the largest natural disaster designation by area in U.S. history, covering 26 states. We're now in one of the 10 driest years on record. Remember, this time last year, the Midwest was inundated with record flooding from the Mississippi and Missouri rivers. Clean air is a public good. That's the decision of a Texas district court judge who ruled that the atmosphere and clean air is a public trust that must be protected by the government for the public good. The judge rejected legal arguments by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality that only water falls under the public trust doctrine as a resource that the government must protect.
Really?
Yes, the state commission is suing the Environmental Protection Agency to stop EPA enforcement of pollution and greenhouse gas regulations over the oil and gas industry. Nationwide Insurance has announced it will no longer cover any homeowner damages from fracking, the controversial natural gas drilling technique they call the, quote, too dangerous to ignore. Protests in Japan. On one of the hottest days of the year, at least 100,000 Japanese protesters took to the streets of Tokyo to protest the Japanese government's decision to restart a second nuclear power plant.
The plants leave too much behind. Things that can't be properly and completely controlled by humans shouldn't be used.
All of Japan's nuclear facilities were shut down in the wake of the March 2011 Fukushima nuclear disaster. An independent commission appointed by Japan's parliament recently concluded that the disaster was man-made and preventable, a result of, quote, collusion between government regulators and TEPCO, the plant's operator, saying they sacrificed safety to maximize profits. The National Transportation and Safety Board came to a similar conclusion over the Kalamazoo River pipeline spill in 2010. In the nation's largest onshore oil spill, cleanup has taken over 2 years and nearly $1 billion. The NTSB says the disaster was entirely preventable and blames Enbridge, the pipeline owner, for mismanagement, noting, among many revelations, that Enbridge knew of cracks in the pipeline years ago but chose not to repair them, and Enbridge was unprepared to respond to a spill cutting safety to maximize profits.
That was the largest on-land spill in the history of the United States?
Yes.
And it's been going on for the last 2 years?
Well, the cleanup has taken 2 years.
And yet we've heard almost nothing about it on the news.
That's right.
Well done, mainstream media. And this is the same type of heavy tar sands oil that they want to run through the Keystone Pipeline, correct?
That's correct.
What could possibly go wrong?
Finally, speaking of what could possibly go wrong, Shell Oil's excellent new adventure in offshore drilling in the Arctic is already off to a bad start. On Monday, Shell's drilling rig ship lost its moorings in an Alaskan harbor and began drifting out of control towards shore. The 500-foot rig was brought under control, Shell officials say, before the rig ran aground.
This is the drilling that the U.S. Coast Guard was against, saying that it did not have the resources and facilities to respond if there was a disaster, right?
That's correct.
What could possibly go wrong? It's just like the Soviet Union. For more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Remember, you can download our reports anytime via iTunes, listen to us on your mobile device via Stitcher Radio, and follow us 24/7 on the Twitters at Green News Report. From BradBlog.com, deep in the heart of the Soviet Union, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report, comrade. I'm back in the U.S.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Seven minutes past the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. And yes, in answer to your many questions, and because I was reminded to please do this more frequently by Darius via email over the weekend, The song you heard going out was by XTC. XTC. And the name of it was Nights in Shining Karma. See, the whole dark night, nights in... Right, you get it. Bane! Now, see if... And see, that's the thing. I mean, Slim Ball's right on it. If they weren't trying to sway the electorate subliminally, they would have just named him Khan. Nightly Star Trek reference. Khan! I'm kipping it was terrible. They put things in our ears. God. Oh, if they weren't so hateful, greedy, and stupid, they'd be funny. It's almost enough to make me want to let one on the air once in a while, but no. No. By the way, before we go to the phones, and a couple of lines are open if you want to jump in. Ibid from the chat room from Australia sent me a note last night asking me to make mention of this. He said, I just realized you were back on the air after a lengthy break. Some break. Well... Lots of things were broken. It's wonderful to hear those golden tonsils again. Are my tonsils really golden? It is a sad day, says Ibid, as one of my musical heroes passed away, finally succumbing to cancer. I speak of keyboard maestro and Deep Purple founder John Lord. He was a legend of the 70s music scene and a perfect gentleman. His organ-guitar interplay with guitarist Ritchie Blackmore is legendary. Never partook of drugs or scandal, and for him it was truly about the music. Deep Purple was, is, and always will be my favorite band ever. The musicianship is excellent, and John Lord was an integral part of the sound. He also made some excellent solo albums. And Ibid included one, a song called Pictured Within. And here in a little bit, we'll find time to run it. I don't want to. I don't want to keep folks waiting any longer than they already have. Hey, welcome to the program.
I agree with Ibid.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. And your golden tonsils, you mispronounced she.
Oh, well. What do you expect me to... I mean, maybe it was my mother tongue once upon a time, but there's just too damn many consonants in there.
Well, all you have to remember is...
I mean, that's like S-L-A-I-N-T-E spells slunge. Stop it.
The main thing, the reason why it could possibly be a link, a root word for Bane is because of what the she were. Don't think of Tinkerbell. Think of very small things with very large teeth that like to chew people up.
Yeah, sharp, nasty teeth. Oh, it's only a little Bonnie. Ah, right.
Yes, clank. And they had a whale of an appetite. They weren't not very nice creatures.
It sounds a little bit like a friend of Cole.
And no, not really, because they didn't like, Cole Fire.
Yeah.
Now, here's the reason I'm calling you.
Okay.
I would like, I'm requesting everybody to do something for me tomorrow.
Okay.
I want them to call Jeff Merkley's office.
Okay.
And say thank you.
Your junior senator from Oregon.
Yes, because when the rats made their decision about Citizens United, they said, well, the cure is in disclosure.
That's true.
And it came up with a disclosure bill, which the Republicans promptly filibustered. Well, Jeff Merkley and a bunch of his buddies spent 7 bloody hours on the floor of the Senate talking for 7 straight hours. And, of course, nobody in the media is paying any attention to it.
No, naturally.
And, of course, the bill went down the tube. But somebody should, at the very least, call this man up and say, hey, we appreciate the fact that you at least tried.
Showing up is half the battle, Susan.
Yeah. We didn't expect you to win, but you went down swinging. And here's a little piece of news for you. Jeff Merkley is not due to come up for re-election for a couple of years yet.
Good.
They're all ready.
Gunning for him.
Oh, you bet your bippy. In this state, they are already fundraising. So if people can find their way to sending as little as $5, send it. He needs it because they're out for his neck.
And Jug of Punch in the chat room also noting that Sherrod Brown, once referred to, of course, by Rush Limbaugh as Sherrod Brown. Sherrod Brown was one of the ones who joined in with Merkley on that.
Yeah. These people are the ones we need to keep. Send money. Doesn't have to be much, but send them something and let them know, hey, call them up and say, hey, I'm not in your state, but I appreciate what you did.
Yeah, indeed. And I'm asking now, and I'll see in the chat room in a minute, whether Sherrod Brown is up for re-election this year. I don't know if he is or not. But
well,
yeah, I'm with you wholeheartedly, Susan. When they do something right, they deserve to be praised for it.
Yeah, and even if they're not up for re-election this year, the ones that are effective, like Brown,
oh no! With Citizens United money out there, there's no such thing as a safe seat anymore.
And they are gunning for them big time. You can bet. There is going to be huge amounts of money coming into Oregon just to knock off Jeff Merkley. They don't really care too much about the other senator here. Because he's a dyed-in-the-wool world corporatist. But Jeff Merkley, he's not a friend of Cole. He's against the filibuster.
It sure would be fun if he'd introduced the AIC Act in the Senate, wouldn't it?
Yeah, wouldn't it, though? And he's just the type of guy who is willing to stand up and do something like that.
Might have to try to schedule a little meeting when I get back up there.
Oh, okay. Hey, if you do, send him my love. Tell him you have a constituent.
Oh, no. I won't do that. I'll let you know. I'll let you know before we go in the door so you can be ringing the phone.
We need to send these people. Let them know.
Yeah, I agree.
Send them money. I know the times are hard. I'm on a fixed income. Times are hard. Do what you can. Please, people.
Yeah.
Or we're done.
Well, the fight is, that's something that I pointed out all along, Susan, that the fight is about, I mean, all the oxygen's being taken up in the room by the presidential election, as one would expect. The House of Representatives has a very, the chance of it going back into Democratic hands is fairly slim. But if you want the perfect storm, it is a Senate dominated by the Republican Party and a House dominated by the Republican Party, and only a reelected Barack Obama standing between them and us.
Yeah, and that's when they impeach him.
Well, there's that, yeah.
We've seen them do it before. That's the situation that they set up before. They had the House and the Senate, and they proceeded to impeach a president, a very popular president.
Yeah, which he doesn't quite have that going for him right now.
So he could, they'll fall all over themselves trying to figure out some way to impeach him. If they can get the Senate, they'll impeach him.
Wouldn't be surprised in the least. So that's, you know, that's the nature of the struggle.
Yeah, we need to save what we can.
Need to go and I need to try to set up a meeting there, and I need to try to set up a meeting in Sherrod Brown's office too.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm glad you brought this up, because the death of the Disclose Act was just sad and sorry and shameful.
Yeah. But at least they went down swinging. How many times under dear old Mr. Reed, Senator Reed's leadership, did they just whimper and roll over?
Yeah, that's another issue.
Yeah, at least Merkley, you know, because of what Merkley did with the filibuster and the fact that Reed had to come out and say he was wrong, now Merkley's basically got free reign. He can do pretty much as he wants.
Good deal. Yep, I agree.
And go Jeff. Go Senator Jeff.
Exactly. And I will, I'll let you know if we get a meeting, and I'll go in there with your foreknowledge, and you can be ringing the phone at the same time we're going through the door.
Yeah. Get an interview.
Indeed. Susan, good to hear from you, dear.
Good to talk to you and your golden tonsils.
My golden tonsils, by the way, have been gone since I was 3.
Well, so have mine.
you're living proof that one can get away from filthy coal and all of that stuff. You know, you buy renewable credits, and it matters.
Yeah.
The more people...
My power is generated 100% by wind power, and I pay extra for it, but you're paying close to 4 times what I'm paying for power. I don't know how they're doing that, well, other than the fact that they've got it set up to rob you blind.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And I mean, admittedly, you know, we run a bunch of computers and some electronic equipment and stuff like that.
Well, so do I.
But it shouldn't be, the disparity shouldn't be that great.
But you got to remember, like Rhonda said, the sun don't always shine and the wind don't always blow.
Well, Rhonda can stick it where the sun don't shine. And I do like that. And as you have to remember, this is the home of the spotted owl. It is Tree Hugger Central. We are tree huggers and damn proud of it.
Indeed. One of these days I got to get out there just to see what it feels like.
Oh, you will. You come out here, I can guarantee it, you won't be going back.
Susan, have yourself a great evening, dear.
You too, honey.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
This is Edward.
Well, hey, Edward. How are you?
I'm fine. I really enjoyed listening to Susan. I hadn't heard her for a while.
It had been a while, hadn't it?
Yeah. Well, I just want to tell you, I have a new name for Flimball.
Yes.
I call him Jabba the Rush.
Yeah.
Can't you see that big blob just slithering across the floor and leaving a track of slime?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, at one point, didn't he put Princess Leia in a pit?
Yeah.
See how it works?
Oh, I know. And also, I have a very wonderful recipe for bread. You talked about all the wonderful pastries and bread you had in Europe. And this is potato bread. It has a cup of finely mashed potatoes in the dough.
Oh, yummy.
And you let it rise all the certain times, and it makes four loaves. You put it in the buttered loaf pans and let it rise. And then you bake it until it's all golden and beautiful. And when you thump on it, it goes thump, thump, and hollow sounding. Then you dump it out and put it on a cooling rack. The last time I made that, when I came to my senses, I had half a loaf of hot bread with half a stick of butter on it. So I figured I better quit that or there would not be a barn door in Texas I could get through.
And, you know, they make some pretty broad barn doors in Texas. Then.
You're telling me.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If you commit that to email and send it along to me, I'll share it over to our chat room moderator, Lottie, because he's been playing with the notion of pulling together a horn cookbook.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll certainly do that.
I think that would be mighty good fun.
Well, I used to cook a lot. In fact, I'm not bragging, but I used to have sit-down dinners for 12.
Oh, my.
I can't do that anymore. There comes a time in your life when you can't do things like that anymore. So, anyway, I will. I'll send that to you.
Oh, and I will try it myself, and might have to wait till the fall when it's not quite so hot. Hotting up the oven right now is not a good idea.
No, that's not a good time, you know. But, oh, when that bread is baking and you smell that yeast, ooh. Well, see, also, I'm one of these people that I don't like butter on my bread. I like bread on my butter.
Yeah, see, that's...
You know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
Take care.
All right, Edward, you have a wonderful evening. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Edward calling from Dallas. Oh, fresh bread. Fresh butter with some bread on it. Yeah. Now, you know what? The emails will start any minute now. Bob, when you get the recipe, send it along. I forget who it was on my Facebook page wanted the hot slaw recipe, and I gotta do that again real soon because, my goodness gracious, that's special. And if you just happen to have a smoker and you hickory smoke say a nice pork shoulder, that pulled pork with that hot slaw, woo! And a little bit of that fresh potato bread on the side, warm and wonderful. Yeah, that could be real tasty real quick. About 25 minutes after the hour, we've about found ourselves at the halfway mark of the program. Let's keep it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
Wow, I just called and now I'm talking to you. That is so awesome.
Isn't that neat? What's happening, Tracy?
Hey, sweetie. Long time no hear. How was your tour of Europe and all that good stuff?
Well, Europe, oh, dear me. You'll have to go back to the archives for this. It was a three-hour filibobster.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there was a mugging involved. And yeah, but the rest of it was just simply awesome. And then we went down to Selma, Alabama, and did some work in D.C. And when we came back, we got hit by a land hurricane and knocked power out for 10 days. And pretty much crippled us up real goodly-like.
So just me having brain surgery ain't no big deal, huh?
Well, I was gonna get around to that. I mean, is that still on the schedule?
Yeah, it's still on the schedule. Monday, August the 6th, I will be having my brain lifted. I said, of all the things that could be lifted on my body, my brain, seriously?
Yeah, by the same token, the last time we talked, Tracy, I think you were making some plans to live very enjoyably here for the next couple of months, even though you gave us to understand it's not particularly, you said it's not terribly threatening surgery. But
no, it's not threatening surgery. Actually, it's corrective. I mean, I'm not under any danger of, you know, it's not cancer, it's not a tumor. But the thing is, my doctor's like, well, you don't have to have the surgery, but do you want to live in pain for the rest of your life? I'm like, no, not really.
No, that's where you go, let's do this.
Yes, so let's do this. But the good news is, I've lost 25 pounds.
Atta girl.
Yes.
This would probably not be the time for me to tell you I've discovered a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful brand of beer.
You know what? Fuck you.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
No, but I still drink my beer. I still drink my beer.
Well, I can't get it here. Couldn't afford it if I could.
What's the name of it? So I can have it and toast it to you on my birthday on Saturday.
You do that. I bet you can get it in L.A. It's called Gaffel, G-A-F-F-E-L.
Oh, I've seen it. Yes. Yes.
And it is a beer style called Kush, K-O with an umlaut. L-S-C-H. K-O with two dots over the O. Yeah, K-O-L-S-C-H. And I have never had, it was probably had to do with the scenery and the good company. But then again, I'd just seen a massive, square, huge, open pit, cesspit coal mine. But it was magnificent. And naturally, I can't get it in West Virginia.
Of course not, but the awesome thing is if I can get a tit here in L.A., then I will definitely try it. And speaking of beers that you could only get in California.
Yes.
There's a beer that I've been, like, really fiending over called Hemp, and I'm about to look at it right now. It's in my refrigerator. Because actually, it's Hemp Ale, and it's a brown ale made up in Sonoma somewhere, and it's actually made from hemp.
Wow.
And it's
righteous good?
So righteously good. I tasted it. There's this hamburger place out here in the valley called Prohibition Burger. And the burgers are just defined. They're only open Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And they have burgers and they have sweet potato fries, Bob.
Ooh.
Yeah. See, I don't know if you saw it in the chat room, the guest room is ready.
Oh, I did see that. That's wonderful.
It is no longer the mystery room where things go in.
And don't come out?
And don't come out. No. I bought a futon and all the, because my mom is coming, you know,
out
for the surgery and whatnot and so forth. Just to, you know, because she's my mom and that's what moms do. So, but, you know, enough of me. So I've been reading Mr. Van Johnson's book, Rebuild the Dream.
Oh, Van Jones?
Oh, I'm sorry, Jones. I keep saying Van Johnson. How do I get him mixed up with a dead white guy?
I don't know. Hi, Van.
Hi.
We always say hi to Van because things that get said here have a way of coming out of his mouth. And, you know, we've never gotten the email or anything, but hi, Van.
Hi, Van. And I was reading because I think I talked to you when he was here in L.A. and I got to hear him speak. And I got a signed copy of his book. But I didn't really know the particulars to what happened to why he was no longer in the Obama administration.
Oh, you mean the dirty business that Glenn Beck did on him?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And, you know, and I just... who was the sister that got thrown under the bus, too, for the when she was working for the Department of Art? Because she said that he was a racist.
Oh, Shirley Sherrod?
Yeah, Shirley Sherrod.
She was preemptively thrown under the bus.
Right. And he kind of threw himself under the bus, but not really. I just, I just think of how much good he could have done had he remained in administration. Because that man, I have not been able to put that book down. He, you know, I think you said you had a, what did you call it, a bromance for him. It's, he's just an awesome man. He's so intelligent and he's funny. And of course he's, you know, a big opponent for, you know, against mountaintop removal and fracking. And I'm like, see, what's so exciting about when, as I'm reading the book, had I not started listening to you, I would never have known anything about fracking and mountaintop removal.
Well, let me ask you this. Who is your member of Congress, Tracy?
Oh, see, that's the problem right now because we have Brad Sherman and because they just up to our district. So we have two Democrats running for the same office now in Congress.
But who's sitting?
Sherman. But he is this Sherman and another guy, Brad Sherman is my sitting congressman, and I've written him about mountaintop removal and stuff like that.
Yeah, because you know we've got a bill in the House now.
We do. No, because remember I've been not listening because it's so funny. I'm driving in the cab and I'm thinking I should be listening to Bob, and then I realize it's too late to listen to Bob because it is now 6 o'clock my time.
Well, and had you tried to tune in any time from July the 2nd. Through that, the entirety of that week and all the way up to last Wednesday, you would have gotten beep because, you know, we were off the air.
Yeah. See, I have the perfect timing, you know.
Because that storm just knocked our teeth out.
Yeah. I was on the East Coast right before all that hit. I was in Atlanta, and I left the day before those crazy storms, the day before the heat wave, I guess so.
Yeah, well, we got back here to the mansion and the studio,
right?
Exactly 2 hours before the storm hit on June the 29th.
The gate, yeah.
And the power went out, and we didn't see electricity again for 10 days.
Yeah, how did you guys? What were you guys doing with ice? What the hell?
I had to resort
to Pioneer Days, and
it got a little Pioneer. We cooked on a Coleman Coleman camp stove. We cooked on the gas grill. I lit a wood fire in the smoker, and did some cooking that way. We for a few days didn't have water, but then that came back, so we boiled that before we drank any of it. You know what's really good in 100 degree summertime temperatures, Tracy?
What?
Hot boiling water. Yeah,
pretty.
It's just delightful.
It's pretty freaking awesome.
The fact of the matter is, with the help of the Horn family and the help of the Truth Seekers over there with Malloy and Kathy, we actually were able to survive because we were able to get our hands on a generator, and then we were able to keep the generator fueled for those 9 days.
Yeah, because every time I turn on the news, I was worried about my friend back east, and here for the DVR, and then the other room for the other one. My cable guy is here.
Oh, that's okay.
But I was just, because every time, you know, when I was listening to you talk about our friend Rhonda, who, you know.
God, I shouldn't have done that. You know, I
should have. Because see, it just shines a light on the ignorant and when you said, what did you call it?
Bowel-breaking fear?
I was just like, really? Just the second receiver? For the, just regular, because it's not an HDTV.
Maybe, like,
10 bucks, I'll be right. Yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it was just like, my thing was, I just, you know, hooked on phonics, because Rhonda needs help. And I don't know if it's more of a shining light on our current educational system, but then again, Rhonda's older. So, but like you said, even when you were growing up, you still learned you learned proper English, didn't you?
Tried. To the extent that little redneck children can be taught it.
Even though you grew up in the backwoods, but that's okay.
But you know, it's the fear and the ignorance. You know, the sun doesn't shine every day.
Right, no.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And it has for what? The last 3 billion years, Tracy? 3 billion years.
And if you live in Alaska, this time of the year is out for 12 hours.
Right.
It's just, I try not to turn on the TV every so often, because, you know, like I just said, my cable guys here, but because the mother unit is coming, and I don't really have anything in that room, so she can watch her shows. But
No, you're being a good daughter.
I'm being a good daughter, damn it. You know, as much as I try not No, I you know, between that and our buddy Tricky Mitt trying to make our president apologize for the truth.
Well, and his surrogate spent the day telling America that he's not really an American. Did you catch that today?
No.
Yeah. John Sununu. Name ring a bell?
Yes.
He's this...
Sununu?
Yeah. He's this nasty, pasty-faced, doughy dude from New Hampshire. And, well, let me just fire this up here for a minute, because, you know, we might as well share our misery.
Let me go get the glass of wine, because I can't...
I'd get the glass of laudanum for this if I were you. I really would.
Because since I can't...
And a straw. Get the straw, Tracy.
Because I can't take my regular pain meds, because, you know, 2 weeks before your surgery, 15 days before my surgery, I can't take my 800 milligrams of Motrin...
No.
Or Vicodin or any of that, because, you know, it can make you bleed.
Right.
So I'll never get it to Tylenol.
and with a glass of wine, no less. Oh, that's going to be so... Your liver's going to love that.
Yes! I'm not going to drink wine. I'm actually having a party, like, the Saturday before, because I called my doctor. Only I would call my doctor and ask, so, when's the last time I can drink before my surgery? And, like, drink, and the nurse is like, well, you can drink the night before, but I wouldn't advise it, that to come in with a hangover. I'm like, no. She's like, but if you really want to tie one on, do it Saturday. So I'm having a party entitled The Last Day Tracy Can Drink Before They Split Open Her Brain Party.
Maybe work with a zombie theme.
So fire up the thing so I can hear it. So we can.
All right, so this is John Sununu explaining what the problem is with Murica, okay?
America.
Yeah. You ready?
I'm ready. This guy doesn't understand how to create jobs, so there's no surprise. There should be, because of that statement, no surprise on why he failed so miserably over the last 4 years in terms of job creation. He has no idea how the American system functions, and we shouldn't be surprised about that. Because he spent his early years in Hawaii smoking something, spent the next set of years in Indonesia, and another set of years in Indonesia, and frankly, when he came to the U.S., he worked as a community organizer, which is a socialized structure, and then got into politics in Chicago.
Isn't that just charming?
Oh, yes, he came here, right here. So he's not an American.
Right, no.
He came to this country to work, okay.
You know, from that foreign, because he was born in that foreign country, Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Hawaii, right, because it's not part of the contiguous.
It went on all day, Sununu said. He needs to learn how to be an American. And
well, how do you learn how to be an American? Because being born white?
Well, that helps.
Well, see, you know.
Let's see, then there was Willard Romney himself at 1:35 p.m. today.
Okay, what did...
Okay, strap in, all right?
Strap in.
Here we go.
It is changing the nature of America, changing the nature of what Democrats have fought for and Republicans have fought for. In the past, people of both parties understood that encouraging achievement, encouraging success, encouraging people to lift themselves as high as they can, encouraging entrepreneurs, celebrating success instead of attacking it and denigrating makes America strong. That's the right course for this country. His course is extraordinarily foreign.
How can I be an entrepreneur if I can't afford health care?
Right, but his course is extraordinarily foreign, Tracy.
I'm sorry?
His course is extraordinarily foreign.
Foreign. Oh, you mean like, you know, like those countries like, you know, in Europe where people don't have to worry about if they break a hip or something and they have to worry about losing their entire life savings in their home.
Right, or, you know, a foreign country like Mexico.
Mexico.
You know, where Willard's granddad came from. Entered the country illegally.
Yeah, because he's a, you know, he was here illegally. Oh, because he was escaping prosecution from the United States because he still wanted to have sister wives and all that good stuff.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, it just tickles me. When I hear this kind of stuff up, I just, you know, I'm just thanking God that, you know, I'm going to be out of commission for at least a week.
And you know what? A week before and a week after, Tracy, I don't want you to think about any of this crap.
I'm not. That's why, I am having, starting this weekend, because Saturday is my birthday, so every weekend until my birthday, I'm having a pool party. Because I live in an apartment building with a pool.
I sure wish I could be there.
And we're going to barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to make...
I'd help, you know.
See, and that's what my aunt wanted to have a party for me, and I'm like, you know, at my house, which is fine. I said, under one condition, because I barbecue, too. I can throw down on the grill. But I'm like, it's my birthday, and I'll be damned if I'm going anywhere near a grill. So as long as there's going to be people manning the grill, I'll be fine. We're going to, you know, keep it simple. There's going to be cake. I might even break out the ice cream maker. Don't know.
Now, is that the one you plug in, or has somebody got a crank?
No, I used to have a crank ice cream maker back in the day, but no, we got the one with the rock salt that you plug in, and it turns, and you have homemade ice cream. And, and, you know, like I said, I love Weight Watchers, because that and working out, I work out 3 or 4 days a week. I've lost 25 pounds. I feel good, other than the fact that, you know, I would pick this year to have brain surgery and horrible headaches during this election between listening to Mitt and Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh. Well, I don't listen to them. Basically, the only reason why, only time I actually hear them is when I listen to you and then you play something by him and then my head starts to hurt.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault. It's just a brain bleed and, you know, it's okay.
Just a brain bleed.
No, I do not have a brain bleed. No, because if I had a brain bleed, we would not be talking right now. But I keep thinking, do you really think that Mittens has a chance?
Yes.
Oh, God.
In a sane world, he wouldn't.
No. In a sane world.
But in a world where... God, I sound like movie phone all of it. In a world where people
think
talk about him being a foreigner.
A pod people.
Yes, they're under the. You know, you were setting up Mama's room. Check under the bed for pods, would you?
Yeah, you know, because remember I told you that my mom's was an evangelical. So I think he's beginning to realize that those people are kind of scary, crazy. And especially now seeing that, oh, wait for it, I have a girlfriend.
So. What? Huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize it, but, yeah, I have a girlfriend. I didn't know. You know, I wouldn't characterize myself as being gay or bisexual or anything like that at this point. I would characterize myself as somebody who is madly, totally, deeply in love with someone who has made my life more than amazing at this point.
That's just beautiful.
It's just that I've never been involved with anyone that has been so supportive. As soon as we found out that I had to have my surgery, the money came out ready. I'm not one to ever got help. I mean, you know, like, you know my story, you know, having a single parent and all that with no support, other than from my family, of course. But I've never had to. I didn't know what it was like to have the support of a partner, to have somebody that has your back. It is, oh my God, to just say, I need this, and it's done. Or just to have somebody, you know, I had a really bad case of food poisoning, have somebody drive over and clean up my vomit because I was too weak. To even take a, I took a shower and was so weak.
week that I couldn't even lift up my hand to get the towel and to have somebody clean up. I never knew, you know, what that was like. I thought people were lying when they were talking about this love stuff. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Y'all full of shit. And I'm like, no. She gets on my nerves. I want to kill her every time I get a chance. But for the most part.
No, but that's part of the ride. You know, you buy the ticket, you take the whole ride.
Yeah, and I'm learning how to take, and it's the most awesome ride ever. It's better than, if there was something beyond the e-ticket, because we're old enough to remember the e-ticket at Disneyland,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's better than an e-ticket could ever have been.
Well, Tracy, we'll be thinking about you, dear.
Please do, you know, and trust me, you'll hear from me. I'll be at my house listening and going, okay, I got to call in because, you know, through the drug haze of everything that's going on, I'm going to need to hear my people talking and you talking shit about the idiots. Because we cannot let these people, you know, we could talk as much as we want about Obama and he hasn't done this and he hasn't done that. But he has done a lot. And we just got to keep...
I mean, you know, look, at the end of the day, you just got to go, Willard.
Willard?
Barack.
First of all, he's a rat.
Yeah,
you think about the movie Willard?
Yeah, see, and Flush hasn't caught on to that one. He thinks we're trying to make him into some sort of Batman villain when we've been calling him Willard for years now because Willard is a rat.
He was the bane to my existence, okay? It's not our fault that the company picked that name, okay? I'm pretty, you know, come on, you guys, get, you know, do some research before you name your companies.
But they don't, you know, no. That's like another one of those famous venture capital firms. Cerberus Holdings.
See?
You know, Cerberus was the vicious multi-headed dog at the gates of hell.
And there you go.
Need we say more?
Need we say more? Well, Bob, it's been awesome talking to you.
It has been, and we'll be looking, we'll be, you know, just a little tweet, just a, hey, everything's okay, you know, just a little tweet. That's all. Just let us know.
I will.
You know, you do that for family.
I do that for family.
Okay.
And you guys take care, and I will talk soon.
Absolutely. Bye now, Tracy. Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Tracy calling from L.A., getting the cable taken care of, not in her cab today. But, you know, she'll be back behind the wheel and back on the road in no time flat. And, you know, if you're flying into L.A., we got to figure out a way to make sure Tracy gets the fare. If you're getting a cab coming out from LAX. Kevin, with a note to Tracy. He says, I recently had to discontinue my anti-inflammatories, and it was a bitch, to say the least. Tell Tracy to try to get a prescription for Percocet, a pain med like Vicodin, but not an NSAID. Doesn't work as well for me, but it does work enough to get me through not being able to take the NSAIDs, just a thought. See, that's the way family behaves. Now, going back for just a minute to all this foolishness with John Sununu and Willard Romney, and how foreign Barack Obama is. Come on, it's not even dog whistling anymore because it's audible. Well, let's understand how it came to be that this was the line of attack today. And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to do this to you. This goes back to yesterday. And I remember seeing this yesterday and thinking about it for the show. And something inside me said, wait a minute, let's see how this plays out. Now, just to recoup, big old pustulant, corpulent John Sununu trundled onto a set somewhere today and gave a couple of interviews, and Romney himself spoke in front of some cheering idiots. And talked about how foreign Barack Obama is and how he doesn't understand our country, right? How did that develop? Well, this is how that developed. Won't take but a sec. Come on, load.
Now, here's Obama in Roanoke on Friday night.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own.
that you didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hard-working people out there. If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we have that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you've got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. The Internet didn't get invented on its own. Government research created the Internet so then all the companies could make money off the Internet.
Yeah, well, you know who really invented the Internet was the military. It was a DOD project.
And Flush, I mean, just try to listen through the haze. I mean, the DOD, that'd be the Department of Defense, which would be an arm of the, come on, government? Sure.
And Obama hates that. But, folks, look, here he is repeating it, roads and bridges. The roads and bridges came after what was necessary. Or what made the roads and bridges necessary? They came after that. This is...
Wait, after that we stole the continent from the people who already lived here? That necessity, Flush? Lost here! But no.
I'll tell you what. I think it can now be said without equivocation, this man hates this country.
And there you have it. You want to know why John Sununu was trundling around the media sphere earlier today talking about how Obama came from Indonesia, smoking things in Hawaii, Indonesia, and Willard, you know, pulled the starchy part out of the underwear out of his butt, and his policies are extraordinarily foreign. You know, like that French language that I speak fluently but won't let any of you rubes hear me speaking. You know, because there's pictures of me on my little Mormon bicycle back when people were getting blown into their thousands of constituent parts in Vietnam. I was in France. Because I was a missionary. You know, for the angel moron. Ick. Either they've got some sort of internal polling data on the average IQ of a Republican voter, or these people are as tone deaf as a brick hitting the bottom of a kettle. But that's, Flush Flimball really is the head of the Republican Party. Yesterday he gave them their talking point. Today they acted upon it. And the damn frustrating part of it all is this notion that don't rely on me. Rely on people like Robert and Ibid and Scott in Sweden and Michael in Norway and people all over the globe who write into this and call into this program who say, hey, Barack Obama is not even within yelling distance of European-style social welfare. He can't even see it from where he is. Heavens to Murgatroyd. Oh, he's extraordinarily foreign. Yeah, I mentioned that cranky old 19th centurist, Mark Helprin, penned some sort of blithering essay about how Barack Obama is trying to lead a European-style social revolution in the United States, even as Europe is imploding. Fulminate. Yeah, Marty, you're right. Sununu just insulted all of Hawaii. Animal noises. But that's where we are. Friends of coal use air apostrophes, while pasty-faced, doughy white guys like John Sununu talk about how foreign a kid who was born in Hawaii is. Because he was smoking funny stuff. Smoking funny things and trying funny things. Does he know Kid Rock? Jesus Christ. Hour and 5 minutes left of the program. A little reminder that Sal has put a challenge out that has yet to be acted upon. And it sure would be a shame to see this go by the boards. Sal has offered to match the first $100 that comes in. That your $10 becomes 20, or your 5 becomes 10, or your 50 becomes 100. And with the bill paying that we're doing, it would be a real boon. Not a bane, a boon. So the PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com if you can help out. It's a great way to double your money. A match of the next $100 that comes in whatever denomination. Oh, and Jack wants the hot slaw recipe too. I got to write it down at some point. But head of cabbage, a little bag of four or five carrots peeled. Grind them up nice, kind of a rough chop in your food processor. Grind the carrots up first, though, then the cabbage. Just a little bit of onion. White vinegar, sugar to bring out some sweet, and then blast the daylights out of it with cayenne pepper. And then yellow mustard to form the base. And it is some kind of good. And what'll happen, and I think Dr. John could attest to this, what'll happen is the first time you make it, you'll like it. The second time you make it, you'll play with it. The third time you make it, you'll feel like you are making some sort of cabbage-based ambrosia. And you will have, what was the email from Dr. John? Bob, you have created a slaw monster. Yeah, you'll never be able to look at mayonnaise-based coleslaw the same way again. Mm-mm. Hot dogs, barbecue, chicken, cornflakes. It's good on all of it. Ron and Raleigh with an email. He said, ran across this article. It's stuff like this that makes me more sure of the need to provide quality health care to everyone. P.S. I had to stop baking bread. I could blow through a whole loaf in one sitting. See, that's the problem. The article to which Ron refers, though, is, and I think we mentioned the underlying case earlier on the program. Paul Gaylord recovering from rare case of plague. And it includes a photograph of Paul Gaylord's hand. And I've never seen plague in action before. I hope never to again. Dateline Portland, Oregon, one look at Paul Gaylord's hands shows why the plague is referred to as Black Death. The welder's once strong hands have been withered by the cell-killing infection and darkened to the color of charcoal. Doctors are waiting to see if they can save a portion of his fingers, but the outlook is grim for the man who needs them for his livelihood. I don't think I can do my job, he said in an interview from a Bend, Oregon hospital. I'm going to lose all my fingers on both hands. I don't know about my thumbs. The toes, I might lose all them, too. Paul Gaylord will be 60 next month. He got the plague as he was trying to take a mouse from the jaws of a choking cat at his home in Prineville, in rural Oregon. He's finally out of intensive care. He has a weakened immune system, and his family are trying to raise enough money to get him out of the manufactured housing where he was living, which is infected with apparently plague-carrying mice.
plague is, of course, carried by fleas, which then infect mice, who then infect people. That's how it wiped out the 14th century, or at least a third of the people living in Europe and Asia. What, around 1348, 1349? And then occasionally flared back up again. He saw a stray cat who appeared to be choking, was choking on a mouse, and they tried to get the mouse out. The cat bit his hand. They couldn't get the mouse out, so the Gaylord shot the cat to end its suffering, buried him in the yard. 2 days later, fever and chills. He went to the Veterans Administration hospital because he is, in fact, a veteran, but doctors couldn't see him for more than a week. He has no private health insurance, and he went to an urgent care clinic. He was diagnosed with, and I will not play this as a bumper, cat scratch fever, gave him some medicine, and told him to come back if it got worse. A few days later, he was back, raining sweat, with his lymph nodes swollen. He had a lump under his arm swollen almost as big as a lemon, she said, his sister. From there to St. Charles Medical Center in Redmond, that's where the plague diagnosis was made. Spent nearly a month on life support. Just got out of intensive care recently. Family showed up to say goodbye. Plague. Plague. And no way to pay for any of it. You know, because this here's Freedom America. Where, you know, where you can be free enough to get the plague and not be able to pay for the cure. And be dogged with medical bills for the rest of your life. Because that's liberty! Keep your hands off my government Medicare! Stunning, isn't it? By the way, I can tell you we are now only $60 away from meeting Sal's challenge. Thank you very much for your kind help. I have a feeling we'll get there in the next 55 minutes or so. Thanks very much to Sal for initiating this. Now, I said we would probably play a little something from John Lord. Let's do it. We'll take a little break. If you want to light up the phones, do please. We've got about 55 minutes of conversation left in this evening's program. And it's a lot more fun when you participate than when I fill a bobster. Trust me. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn, headonradionetwork.com. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hear me, heroes. Hear me, sunshine. Hear me, rain. Hear me, light. Hear love lies bleeding. Give me paradise, give me star bright, give me pain, give me smiles and eyes like rainbows. My father and my mother, my sisters and my brothers. Picture within. Picture within. sometimes heaven, but lots of wonder. America, children, a boy and a pilgrim. Kith and kin.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
9 minutes past the hour on this Tuesday edition of The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Still plenty of light outside the windows of the, outside the Horn color weather window. Just glad there aren't any derechos out there. Let's a couple of lights still not lit up. If you want to jump in line for the conversation for the remainder of the program, 877-443-2366 is the toll free number on your nickel, 304-658-3333. And I got to remember to be better to fire Skype up at the beginning of the program. Program reminder: we will be on the road next week, Ferg and I. And broadcasting live from the headquarters of the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Campaign on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. Go to AICACT.org to learn how you can help become part of this campaign. It's a chance to make a real difference. And it looks like I'm going to be there on the 28th of July, so I will probably go over and attend the rally in D.C. That's being called Stop the Frack Attack. Sierra Club's gotten behind that one. They've left the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Campaign to flap in the breeze, however. Don't know why. Wish they wouldn't do that. See, we got more data out yesterday. U.S. Geological Survey has come pretty close to a straight-up identification of what's making so many people sick. It's the dust. It's the blasting dust. It's the dust from the stuff that they blow up on that's over top of the coal. So, if blasting for natural resources is coming your way, whether it be for coal or, say, with our friends in Wisconsin, sand, it's still the same blasting materials, and it still ain't going to be any good for you. Why? Because they want it all. They want it all. They want every last thing we've got, including our health, as long as they can make a profit off of it. That's one of those things that Rhonda doesn't understand, that she's as big a dupe in this as anybody, if not a bigger one. That's what, what's her name in Ohio here? Yeah, Amanda Sedgmer doesn't understand. Her husband may work for the coal company, but the coal company is more than willing to sacrifice her 5 children, their health, their well-being, their very future, for their share price. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Jeremy in Burlington.
I'm sorry?
I said it's Jeremy in Burlington.
Oh, hey, Jeremy, how you doing?
Too bad, you?
Getting along. Better than it was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, better than it was a couple of weeks ago here, too, except we're getting thunderstorms that are coming up from, actually coming from the west today, cooling it down here some, so much-needed rain is always a good thing.
Yeah, what's that they say about Vermont? You've got 9 months of winter and 3 months of bad sledding?
Yeah, and we also say if you don't like the weather, just wait 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it's constantly changing here. Still a great place to live for the most part, though.
So, oh, without a doubt. You've got actual responsive politicians, functioning local governments. I'll never forget that one study that compared two towns of similar size, Burlington and Huntington, West Virginia. And the life expectancy and quality of life was as different as night and day, where Burlington has the sustainability and forward-looking culture. Huntington has a hot dog festival. No kidding.
There's irony in everything, isn't there?
God is a God of irony, and she's very good at it.
Yes, yes, yes. That study you just mentioned doesn't really surprise me that the dust is what's causing a lot of the problems. Had the same problem with asbestos back when it was still legal to use. Vermont had its share of asbestos mines, and when they finally closed, they actually had to gate off the property and stop it from flowing off the property and rivers and stuff like that.
Yeah, and the thing with the dust that's coming off mountaintop removal sites, Jeremy, is that this stuff is so teeny tiny that there is no system in the body that can filter it or stop it or even slow it down, and it bioaccumulates inside the human body.
Yeah, I'm not shocked at all. It's just a horrible, horrible thing. But what I really called about was I heard two striking things, one last night from Malloy and one last week from Rachel Maddow. I'll start with Rachel just because hers is a little funnier to me. She came back on the, I think it was the 5th of July last week, and said we're back to Washington and everything's back to normal, so the Republicans are all about jobs. Nope, sorry, abortion.
Right.
The first thing they were talking about as soon as they got back was passing more abortion laws and ending freedom of choice.
Well, naturally.
Well, very naturally. It doesn't shock me, but I guess kind of get mulled this stuff after what happens constantly. And then last night, Malloy was saying that we've reached a new low point or milestone, depending on how you look at it. For the first time in history, Canadians, on average, are more wealthy than Americans.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that probably means we need to invade, right?
Yeah, we need to start another war somewhere else. I mean, as much as I think we need to intervene in Syria, I don't think Obama wants to do it just because he doesn't want to be seen as putting his fingers in something else. And someone needs to do something instead of waiting for this killing happening.
Well, if I was Bashar or Bashar Assad, I would be very nervous. Because what it means, if you consider the way this president acts, he's not going to send in the Marines. He's not going to send in a division or two. He's going, somebody will just show up in the bedroom and, you know, Bashar Assad will wake up with a horse's head in his bed.
That's true. I mean,
that's how this president operates.
He'll send the field or he'll do it from the sky with drones. It's kind of like Sanders joking. This guy kills people. He doesn't mess around.
Right.
So, I don't know. Something needs to be done, but I guess we don't want to be seen as being the ones to head it. Even though the UN is saying they need to do something and no one will step forward to do it, and that general that defected this week said that the only way he sees the regime as losing is basically losing their lives. They're not going to give up.
No, and, you know, Bart Kopp pointed out on his page today, he said, you know, you can go and be a billionaire living in exile, or you can wind up looking like the photograph of Muammar Gaddafi. you know, pick.
Yeah.
Be smart.
Yeah, the dictators don't like to give up their power until it's taken from them. So, I mean, in some way, their hands are tied. It's really a fucking situation.
Yeah.
Even though we haven't met a dictator yet, we didn't like or create ourselves.
Well, and that's the problem. We do. We kind of like Assad. He was supposed to be a reformer, and, you know, he was our kind of dictator.
Right. And I think I saw a news bulletin today, too, that that ship that fired on the Strait of Gibraltar, I think.
Hormuz.
They actually did you hear about this?
You're talking about, we fired on one of those little boats?
Yeah, and supposedly now they're saying there wasn't anyone. They just fired on the boat coming at them. I saw a blurb on, I should have saved it on Yahoo this morning when I woke up, and I could have sworn it said that now they're saying they didn't get a warning. They just shot at it.
Yeah, I don't... I think we get a little, we're a little touchy over there. Because, but look, understand, Jeremy, that this is all the setup. This is all the setup for Casus Belli, where we're just looking for a reason to have a war. And I reiterate, I plan, and I know there are some who don't, but I plan on voting for Barack Obama in November, but war with Iran is the deal breaker. And the right wing is out there hooting and hollering and stomping and screaming, begging for another war, you know, that will run off the books on credit cards, you know, just like George ran his wars.
Right, and it's another thing that annoys me about the right wing. I have friends who claim they're Democrats, but they're Democrats in name only, and they will, they'll claim that Obama has the biggest budget in all-time history, and it took us X amount of years to make up a certain amount of money or surplus or something, and then Obama went and spent it all faster than any president in history. And I'm like, it's because he put two wars on the books that were never there to start with.
Well, you want to look at him, Jeremy, and just go, dude, where were you from January 20th, 2001 to January 20th, 2009? Where were you?
And I have, these are friends that were in the military for 6 years at the time and still don't want to see it.
I had a note from our good buddy Dennis down in Kentucky yesterday evening talking about a confrontation. Well, I wouldn't call it a confrontation, but a discussion he had while he was trying to peacefully enjoy his coffee. He said, my sister and I went for coffee. Guy came up to our table and said that he was a 20-year Army veteran and he'd seen the sticker on my truck that says war isn't working. He wanted to explain to me how the wars were the reason we didn't have those people over here setting up roadside bombs. Dennis said, I felt sorry for the guy. After I told him that I was a veteran of Vietnam, I explained why he was wrong. He didn't put up much argument. I couldn't believe someone would come up with that stuff. I wish I'd thought to him, tell him about Smedley Butler and war is a racket. You know, you always remember what you should have said after it's all over. But what, you know, what Dennis was running up against and what you're running up against, Jeremy, is the reality of these people who cannot think for themselves. There's not that much distance between the guys you're talking about and the guy that came up and confronted Dennis and Rhonda over on the comments board that I was talking about earlier this evening. They are incapable of independent thought, and they can only regurgitate what an authority figure has vomited toward them. It's like watching baby birds feed. And we all love baby birds, but the feeding process is kind of disgusting.
Well, yeah, and I was going to say, these are the same kind of people that hoot and holler about the greatest generation. Now, I give them their due. They went over, and they did help at the end of the war. But the war was really won and lost by the Russians. They lost 50 million people to Hitler on their front lines, keeping Hitler out of there. He only went down because he spent so much time beating on Russia.
Well, you know,
so much us.
I'll probably catch flack for this, and I don't mean this to sound the way it's... If you want to take the two leading fascists, Benito Mussolini and Adolf Hitler, the smarter one was probably Mussolini, because he was cabling Hitler saying, make a separate peace with Stalin. Get out of this. You're gonna get us both killed. And Hitler wouldn't listen. But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right about the import of the Soviets in that war. But, you know, try to... try to explain it. And you can't take anything away from the generation of Americans who did do what they did. It was...
God bless them. My grandfather's one of them, so I don't.
Right. And, you know, my dad, uncles, you know, yeah, the same way. But the fact of the matter was, it was a world war. But, you know, we're not talking about them. We're talking about people who said, you know, because, again, all they're doing is regurgitating Bushisms.
Yeah, we have to fight them over there so we won't be fighting them over here.
And kind of sleazy Rice saying, you know, we can't wait for the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud. They can't do any, they have no ability whatsoever for independent thought, let alone analysis or navel gazing or pondering or wondering whether or not what they're being told is true. It just, if they wrap it up in the flag, if they wrap a Bible up in a flag and hand it to them, okay, here, let's go. And that's just, you know, that's just the reality of the fascist American right. And it's okay to call them fascists because they are. They fit the daggum definition. Wouldn't you agree?
100%. But with that being said, that's basically all I had. I just wanted to rant. I don't really have any answers or even any questions. Just wanted to say something.
I'm awfully glad you did. And don't be such a stranger, okay? Chime in anytime.
Okay.
All right. Take care, Jeremy.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye now. From Vermont, Jeremy calling in. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Well, hello.
This is Gila, or Gigi Mommy.
And, awesome. Gigi Mommy, absolutely.
Hi.
Howdy.
I am scared to death. I rarely call anyone.
Well, let's get a couple of things straight.
Okay.
We have never had to call 911 for a single caller on this in this program's entire history, so you're going to be okay.
Okay, that's good to know. I'm calling from the great state of Michigan where the trees are just right.
Yes, they are, aren't they?
Oh, they're perfect. And it's 100 degrees, or at least it was an hour ago.
And how often does that happen?
Not that often, no. But this is, I think, the third or fourth time so far this summer. But, you know, it's because it's summer.
Right. Somebody get George Will on the phone, right?
Right. So.
Oh, my God. No, that's not going to have any impact on Michigan. No. No.
Oh, no.
I mean, you get far enough north up there, there's not that many air conditioners, right?
I can personally tell you about two or three people that I know that do not have air conditioners right now. And about a month ago, I had a dead one. So it was lovely.
I know. I have a real understanding for what you're going through after what happened a week and a half ago.
Yes, and it was. Gosh, I'm glad that everything worked out okay, Bob. I'm so sorry to hear about what happened. I can relate. I really can. And it's during times like this that I wish my husband was here, so I can just say, okay, you be the adult and you figure out what to do. But he died 3.5 years ago.
Mm.
And just a quick story. We both are freelancers. He worked in sports television. I worked in, I was a video editor. I did mostly corporate videos. And he was absolutely pro-union. And we both loved listening to Mike Malloy.
Yes.
And when the summer of 2009, he wasn't feeling too well. And we were joking, thinking, okay, we're just getting old, ha, ha, ha. And he didn't see a doctor, and he kept working. And his job took him literally around the world. By the fall, he was in North Carolina doing a Wake Forest football game, and I get a call from, this was for ABC, I get a call from ABC saying they had rushed him to the hospital, and this was Halloween, on Halloween. And I talked to him in the hospital, and he said, well, it could be anything, but they think it might be leukemia. And they ran tests, and sure enough, it was leukemia. And this was October 31st. November 2nd, he had a brain aneurysm and passed away before he could even come home. So my life's been totally different since then. I've had to... We have a daughter who was 10 then. She's going to be a teenager in 2 weeks. That's a scary thought.
Without a daddy.
Without a daddy, yeah. And I had a house with a nice... no one told us that there's a little thing in the insurance for anyone that doesn't know that you can check off where it says, if something happens to me, the house is paid off.
Right, insurance, absolutely.
We didn't check that off. So the house isn't paid off. And I hadn't worked in 5 years because I was a stay-at-home mom. He worked.
Right.
And I can't do his job. I can't. He had a, the best way to describe it is he was the instant replay guy.
Oh, wow.
You watch hockey and then they replay and show the puck going in slow motion. That was him. You're watching a tennis match, and it's like, let's find out more about Serena. And you cut to an interview. That was him. He kept everything on.
Like a line producer, right?
Well, he worked with them because he had to record everything and make sure he knew where everything was. And then they say roll X or roll Y. You know, he had to do it, and that's what he did. And he was very good at what he did. And I can't do what he did. And my job, that's another story, but there's not a whole lot of demand for my job right now because what used to be in this town has been outsourced to New York or Chicago or they just don't do it. So, I'm home.
Whether you want to be or not.
Yeah. But that's my little life story in a nutshell. But I learned so much from listening to Mike and from listening to you. And I want to give a shout out to the guys in the chat room. I'm going to hear it from them in about half an hour.
Right.
Tracy, you know, she's been such an inspiration. I'm walking now. If she's still listening, I'm walking, Tracy, because I've read your tweets. I've read you on Facebook. I know you're walking. I wish you all the best with your surgery. I love Albert when he calls in. Jim, is that Jim with the southern drawl?
Yeah, that's...
I love his southern drawl. My father was from Mississippi. My mother's family was from Georgia. And even though I'm from Detroit, I know it probably comes out because I've just been surrounded by Southerners all my life. But
sounds kind of home-like, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. But you know what? Enough about me. I want politics. The Republicans have lost their mind. They are absolutely crazy, and they just make my blood boil. I didn't know about what Sununu said until I heard your show. What is his problem? He thinks Hawaii isn't part of the United States?
No, and God forbid a young person should travel the world and see a little bit about how the rest of the world lives. I think that's the part that galls me even more, Gigi, than the Hawaii business. Because
yeah.
Because you know what? I went to college with guys whose parents were in the oil industry and had been in Malaysia or Indonesia, and they had completely different worldviews from those of us who had never been outside the continental United States. And it was valuable to them. And it was valuable to me and the others of us who were around them. We benefited by it. And if there has ever been a manifestation of the smug sense of privilege of a man like John Sununu, it is to make sport of and criticize a person over the fact that their parents took them outside this country. What would he say about John McCain, Gigi? John McCain spent his formative years outside the United States. For God's sakes, he was born on the territorial soil of Panama. And that's the truth. He wasn't born in the Canal Zone. He wasn't born in a military hospital. He was born in a Panamanian civilian facility. But you know what? You never hear a word about that, and there's only one reason for it.
Yeah.
And we both know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's...
Oh, but you know, I guess maybe if there's any difference of opinion that I share with you, it is the fact that you said they've gone crazy. I think they have gone absolute, within the terms of their world, they have gone absolutely, efficiently, brutally sane.
Oh.
This is not an accident. This is not the function of someone who has lost control of their faculties. This is a calculated assault on what little bit is left of the public commons.
Yeah.
And what is and what little bit of dignity working people have left in this country. That's what it is. And they mean to.
Yeah. It's amazing. I'm old enough to still remember George Romney. And I found out from my brother, a side note, my brother works in local television. And we both went to school, Wayne State University. And my brother was part of the student council. And he said he actually met George Romney. Because I forgot that George Romney was on the board of directors of Wayne State. And it's just amazing. Mitt Romney is not George Romney. He's just plain and simple. He is not his father.
His father was a better man, was he not?
Yes. Absolutely. I don't know what happened. I really don't.
I think maybe we can process to figure that out.
Okay.
What happened to Willard Romney is what happens to second generation wealth a lot of the time. As nasty as they are, look at the Bush family. In Prescott Bush's generation, even though they were doing business with the Nazis, You know, when he was a senator from Connecticut, among other things, he was an ardent supporter of Planned Parenthood. Well, then you get what a friend of mine calls the winnowing of soul, and you get George H.W. Bush, who is nothing but a climber, but at least was paying attention part of the way.
Okay.
And then after George H.W. Bush... And he was detached. Do you remember when George H.W. Bush didn't know what a barcode scanner was?
Yes.
And he didn't know what the price of gasoline was?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the lord of the manor who merely says, someone fan me while another servant feeds me grapes. Well, then the third generation gets even worse. And that's how you wind up with W, who doesn't want to be fed grapes. He wants to blow up frogs, and that's the truth. You know, he really did. He put M80s in frogs just to watch them turn into frog goo. You know, the kind of stuff that makes psychologists feel pretty good about sending their kid to dental school, and sit back and go, oh dear. And that's third generation. And so what you've got going on with from Willard back through his grandfather, you know, his grandfather really did. He fled to Mexico because he wanted to continue being married to several women.
Lovely.
And then established citizenship in Mexico, and then came back into the United States illegally. And did okay for himself, and George Romney became a fabulously wealthy man, governor of Michigan,
right,
presidential candidate, and still managed to have a little bit of human grace and dignity about him.
Right.
Then you get to Willard. Again, that third generation. Where the money that has flowed from generation to generation has proven as utterly corrupting as generational money ever has proven to be. And it almost always proves to be that way. And so, Wow. And so you wind up with somebody who was born, as the late great Ann Richards said in 1988 of George H.W. Bush, born with a silver foot in his mouth. Well, you get that with Willard, too.
That's true.
So where W manifested that third generation sickness by blowing up frogs and tormenting classmates, Willard manifested it by hate and bullying and tormenting his classmates and making jokes about how rich they were all going to be when he was born that way. You know, born that way has more than one meaning.
Yeah.
And so what we're seeing here is a progression each election cycle of America's biggest bully getting the Republican nomination for the presidency, because the same thing also applies to John McCain. His grandfather was a great naval officer. His father was a great naval officer. And in the third generation, it just all falls apart.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's at least one way to look at it.
Yeah.
You know, if you can probably extrapolate that down the line in a number of places. But if you've got all that money and you do not also transmit social concepts of social obligation, then nothing but trouble is going to come from it. And, you know, we've seen it all down through history with royal houses, you know, where you would have so-and-so the great, and then the son is so-and-so the not-so-great, and then the third generation, you wind up with, you know, a revolution on your hands.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I know that he has a chance to win. I know partly because of dirty dealings and the media. And at one point, I wanted to be a journalist, and I am just so disgusted with the media, their lack of doing their job. They won't do their job. They just let the lies go unchallenged, as if it's the truth, and then they just get their paychecks and sit back and just watch. It's amazing.
But that's ever so much easier than actually working, isn't it, Gigi? Because journalism, as real journalists can tell us, is very, very hard work, and it is undercompensated and not at all secure in this day and age. And who knows with what inflammatory piece you may get called in on the managing editor's carpet, and somebody's there from legal saying, you know what trouble you've caused?
Yeah, yeah.
Just for doing journalism.
Right. Yeah, Mike brought up a story last week about a homeless man being shot 40-plus times in Flint.
Yeah.
And I had never heard that, and I went back and looked on the web pages of the three local channels and didn't see it. And my brother works at one of those stations, and I said, you know, and I told him the story, and I said, how come you guys didn't cover it? And he does the morning show, and he said, this is how it works. We can't let you guys walk out the door to your job being upset.
No, it's got to be happy, 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 happy.
That's right. That's the job of the morning show. So hearing stories about homeless people getting shot 40-plus times, or hearing what the real story is about Romney and his taxes, like, people don't want to hear that when they're
eating their cereal and getting ready to send the kids to school.
Right. So, you know, my response is, okay, great, then just run cartoons.
Yeah.
Because if that's the case, you know, and we've got to all be protected from hearing something that might upset us somehow on our way to being the wage drudges that we are, then just, you know, put on, no, rerun old Tex Avery cartoons and old Chuck Jones Warner Brothers cartoons. I mean, I can at least get some philosophical value out of watching Daffy Duck's greed get him in trouble every time. I'm comfortably well off. You know, no.
Yeah.
That's what we deal with. Right. That's why I was broken, and it was the Horn family that did it. I was broken of getting up in the morning and watching Morning Joe.
Oh gosh, I can't watch him.
Well, see, I couldn't take what was going on CNN, and I couldn't take what was going on any of the other ones, so I just sort of defaulted over to Morning Joe, because there was at least some comic value to it. Again, I'm an old cartoon junkie. And watching Joe Scarborough was like watching something from a Tex Avery cartoon. You know, sitting next to the long-suffering Mika.
See, I can't do those shows, because at some point, maybe it's the east side in me coming out from Detroit, where we just don't take this stuff, and it's like, I just... either smack him upside the head or say, shut up.
And see, that's what that was the fun part of watching it for me, was that I just knew that if I would just stay tuned in, one of these days Mika was just gonna roundhouse him right in the face. You know, just sitting there with that prim, perfect posture, and she was gonna ball that little right fist up, and it was gonna come all the way around her body and land in Joe Scarborough's face, and all of America you would be able to walk outside and hear the cheering.
Now that would be perfect.
Yeah.
Oh well, she needs to come to Detroit.
Yeah. There's so many places I need to. Although I did manage to get to see the Detroit airport on the way out to Wisconsin this last time through, so we're getting there. Yeah, and I've been in Michigan once. I have. Many years ago I was up in Jackson for a wedding.
I've never been to Jackson.
Well, I had never seen roadside signs that said "Do not pick up hitchhikers." There's a state prison near here.
Yeah, that's true. That is out there. Yeah. There was a prison inside Detroit. I think it's still open. But it was in my mom's neighborhood, and we were fighting like cats and dogs trying to not let them build it. And then they had the nerve to say, "But there's jobs." It's like, I don't want to work in a prison. And they built it anyway.
Because in the 21st century, incarcerating human beings, warehousing human beings, is awfully good business, Gigi.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. So, well, their excuse was, so that way the families don't have to drive as far. So they
God.
Can stay in town.
Yeah.
That's the truth. That's what they tell
me. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's Band-Aid-ism. Because we can never have that discussion, we can never have the real discussion we have to have, which is, why is there crime?
Right. Yeah.
You know, and because that entails really complicated things that authoritarians can't get their minds around, like compassion, mercy, actual justice, issues of poverty, issues of education, issues of fear and religion, you know, because it all ties together. And there are people in our society who are just plain bad. And you really have to be able to deal with them. But there's a lot of people who are in prison who aren't.
Right. Right.
You know, there are a lot of people who are in prison who are violators of the universal Article 99A criminal dumbass.
Yes.
Where the stupid takes over and, you know, oh, wait, what if we go rob the 7-Eleven? Yeah, great idea. Now, sober up first, you know? But, no, it's beyond a lot of people. Well, Gigi, I tell you what, it has been a wonderful conversation. Thank you for sharing with us your story. And
it was painless.
I told you, nobody had to call 911.
I know. Oh, my goodness, I might have to do this again.
So this means you can do this again. Exactly.
Okay.
Okay?
I will.
All right. You take care, Gigi.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you have been in the Malloy or Horn chat rooms or follow her on Twitter, you know that's Gigi Mommy. And I just love first-time calls. It's about 12 minutes before the hour, about 12 minutes left in the program, and we are $60 out from meeting Sal's challenge. And I sure would like for us to do that in the next 12 minutes or so. That's 2 times 30, 6 times 10, 12 times 5. See, I done learned my ciphering tables. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com, as is the snail mail address. Just let us know either way so that I can let Sal know. I urge you again to please go to acheact.org. You can also go and search Jeff Biggers over at Alternet, at Huffington Post, and I believe also EcoWatch, where you will find his latest argument that Barack Obama's August surprise should come in coal country, where we should end the torment of Appalachia, and we should pay attention to the suffering that is going on, and that we should actually begin the healing. Jeff Biggers writes, let's be real. With faux West Virginia Democrats like Senator Joe Manchin and Governor Earl Ray Tomlin jumping ship, and a prison inmate giving the president a run for his money in the Democratic primaries, Obama has nothing to lose and everything to gain by bringing the Appalachian coalfields of West Virginia, Eastern Kentucky, Southwestern Virginia, and Eastern Tennessee into a new era of clean energy and sustainable economic development. It's not like this is a swing state. It's not like he's got a prayer in Kentucky either. It's no. But if Appalachia really, really is a part of America, then something has to be done, and he needs to do it. And we who care, we who live here and we who do not, have to be the ones who put him on that path to enlightenment, mercy, and compassion. If he was half the progressive that the right wing bills him as, I wouldn't be saying this right now. And that's the truth. Because Appalachia's healing would already have begun. Fan mail in for Gigi Mommy from Andy. Tell Gigi to call in more often. She's great. I enjoyed the conversation. She's really good, and she has a great attitude. Thanks, Andy. Jim writing in, just saying, with compassion and understanding. Indeed. So tomorrow is prayer meeting Wednesday. Ought to have some real Lulus out of that. I told you before, I'll tell you again, it's going to get weirder and weirder as we get toward November. The monsters are out, and as Hunter Thompson said, they will travel on a road of bones. Jay Nordlinger is a senior editor at National Review, of course, that hotbed of reactionary, hate-filled, bigoted, prejudiced, right-wing filth. He wrote a little column yesterday saying that he was trying to imitate how somebody else sounded. I don't buy it. Here's what he said. He was raising taxes, spending like crazy, welcoming wetbacks, pursuing arms control. One common cry from the right was, none of this would be happening if Ronald Reagan were alive. Really? Welcoming wetbacks? In the second decade of the 21st century, that word, yes, of course it's still in use. There are right-wingers in the world. There are Republicans in the world. Of course it's still in use, just like all the other hate words. They can't go a day without them. And they're out in the light, and they know that when they say it, there are people who will defend them.
Well, you can't say that because of political correctness. Political correctness destroying this here country.
In refusing to apologize, he said, one more word. If people wet their pants on seeing the word wetback, this country is as far gone as the most pessimistic and alarmist people say it is. No, it's not. The fact that we object to that kind of filth is actually a sign that we are moving forward. Because what society...
Thank you.